The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Every morning is a new opportunity to take in the news of the day and the challenges of life and try to make sense of it all. Right now, we've got a show that tackles the topics and asks what you think. So get ready to start your day with a bold look at history as it happens. Let's learn, live, and sometimes laugh together. It's the Mark Davis Show on 660 AM, The Answer.
All right, everybody, welcome on in. It is the 9 o'clock hour. It is our final hour together here on the 20th day of October, 2021. What have I got? What have I not done yet? We haven't talked probably enough about these mysterious flights that are loading up all kinds of illegal immigrants here in Texas and just depositing them in various corners of the country in flights, often in the wee hours of the morning. All manner of things going on in the news, and an opportunity to talk about stuff going on now, things that may lie in our future, and things that are along the path that we have walked for, shall we call it, the last couple of decades. Jim DeMint was sworn in as senator from South Carolina right after the 2004 elections, Bush's re-election, and remained there until the election of 2012, and then pretty well walked right across town to become the president of the Heritage Foundation, which he was from 2013 through 2017. The Senate Conservatives Fund, the Citizens for Self-Governance, just all kinds of things going on the resume of Jim DeMint. So, you know, if we have the opportunity to check in and see what's going on with him, I think that's time well spent. Senator, is it like president? Do they call you senator forever? Does that just stick?
Well, I don't know if it's a compliment or not, but I prefer Jim than the stigma of being a senator, but now, anything will work right now. I've been called a lot of things.
Well, I'll tell you what, Jim, it's a pleasure to have you back on the show. We spent a lot of time together when you were senator and when you were at Heritage. So just in general, what have you been up to lately? What's going on with you? How are you spending your days?
Well, when I left Heritage, a number of us from Heritage who had worked together in the Senate and the House started what we call the Conservative Partnership. And the whole idea was to support conservatives who were in the arena, in the House and the Senate. And I just realized we spend millions and millions to elect good people, and then everyone asks what happens to them when they get there. It's because we don't take care of them. Everything in Washington pushes the wrong way. So we've created a support system for conservative members of Congress, their staff, conservative groups, and we've got an office right across from the Capitol where the Freedom Caucus can meet and the Conservative Caucus in the Senate. A lot of conservative groups, they met there this morning to talk about how we can get on the same page. So there's really no one else doing what we're doing. We're not a think tank. We're not a political group. We're just the hub of the conservative movement, and our goal is just to support and build what we're calling more and more the American movement, because the left has completely gone anti-American, anti-God. I've never seen it like this before, where the things that founded this country are now the things that the Democrat Party are against.
So you and I can talk about this in a conservative setting, and it can be a talking point and a truthful point in conservative media. But do you feel that things are going badly enough that even independents and moderates and centrists and maybe even the occasional buyer's remorse Biden voter might also be having a change of heart that can accrue to our benefit in 22 and 24?
I think that is happening. The problem we have is that a lot of the media that the majority of Americans watch are not telling people about how humiliating Afghanistan was, or the craziness on the border that we'll be paying for generations. The media is not reporting on these huge spending bills that are going through with a lot of really bad policy in them. So my only concern is that Americans don't know how bad it is. And frankly, Mark, I don't think I've seen it this bad in the 20 years I've been working in politics. I mean, we've had bad things come up a lot of times, but never so many at the same time. And I think the left is not stupid. So a lot of this is intentional. A lot of it's to create chaos and crisis. I think a lot of the mandates are going to keep pushing until people push back, and then they're going to have an excuse for the government to take more control of our lives, of our businesses. So more than ever, this is a time that we have to stand up. And, you know, what I wanted to mix in this morning is a discussion of a book called Satan's Dare. And the reason I wrote it, even though it's a novel, is the realization that this country was founded on Judeo-Christian ideas that come out of the Bible. And we can't expect to maintain this country if we lose sight of those things that made this country great in the first place. So the book, while it's a novel, it's a love story, it's a great read in a lot of sense, but the whole idea is to confirm for Christians and skeptics that the Bible is true, that God did create this world. He's still sovereign, and as our founder said, that no nation can rise without his hand on it. And this country's certainly been blessed, but I'm worried now that you know, God's hand may be moving away from us because of what we're doing. So the book is my platform to talk about the fact that the Bible is true, and if we want to have freedom and truth, that we need to return to those roots. And Americans are tired of being lied to. That's one of the biggest problems we have today, Mark, is we can't get the truth about COVID, about the border, about spending, about what the government's doing. And like you mentioned before I came on, I mean, they're flying illegals all over the country and dropping them off. And that's something that normally is brought to Congress, that there are committee hearings on, that it's, you know, why are they doing it and what's their plan? All of this is secret. We can't get the truth. So that's kind of my thing today, is not just talk about the symptoms, which are the problems here, but talk about the underlying big issues that we need to address as a society.
Well, there are a lot of ways to make a point in the public arena, and one is nuts and bolts and issues, and other ways are through the culture, through books and movies and art. And so Jim DeMint, the book is Satan's Dare, available at Amazon or other places fine books are sold. So if the idea here is to have good things happen in 22 and 24, it's impossible to plot that course without figuring out, and pardon the way this sentence sounds, everybody, what in the world to do about the Trump issue. Great things happened during his presidency. Even people that didn't like him stylistically have to admit, thank God he won and not Hillary. And now we got to navigate whether he actually runs again or whether it's a kind of a Trumpified Republican Party with folks like DeSantis or Tom Cotton or Mike Pompeo. It seems like right now, sort of a touchstone of Republican progress and Republican bona fides is how friendly are you to, if not the Trump tweet flow, then certainly the Trump agenda. So let me just hand you the talking stick. And how do we, because Lord knows he'll be, if he's not running, he'll be watching. And so what's, what's the effect of all of that?
Well, I don't focus too much on the person or even the personality, but like you pointed out, Trump's policies probably did more to help the country than any president in my lifetime. And it was a surprise to a lot of people, mm-hmm. particularly those who couldn't look past the tweets or his reaction to a lot of things. But a lot of Americans loved him for the reason some people hated him, is that he would say what he meant. He would kick down doors. He was trying to tear down regulations. He was a fighter, and maybe to a fault. But that's what I find all over the country, is people don't necessarily expect you to win, but they send people to Washington to fight for the country, for our future, and not just to cave in every time there's pressure and intimidation, which there's a lot of that here and all over the country now with this wokeism. But I think that what will continue, whether Trump runs again or not, is like you said, there's a element of Trump's style that you almost have to take on the swamp in Washington. Nice doesn't work here. You know, George Bush was nice, but they just ran over him here. And even Trump, I mean, the Republicans and Democrats, if the truth were known, did not want someone shaking things up like he did. But I've never seen anyone more committed to keeping his promises, you know, no matter what the pollster said or whatever. So that part of Trump's legacy, we need to continue, because we need strong, tough Republican leadership to push back against a left that has gone beyond just being crazy to being evil in a lot of ways. So, and that's a word I wouldn't have used a few years ago, but I've been working with them now, and I'm worried about that. So, you know, Trump is sending signals like he's going to run, but there are others, like you mentioned, and I think all the ones you mentioned, are kind of trying to, you know, tread water to hold a place just in case Trump decides not to do it.
Share some intel, if you will, about folks you know from being fellow folks there in the Palmetto State. Give me a paragraph on Nikki Haley and a paragraph on Tim Scott.
Well, you know, they're both great, and I'm proud to have them both from our state. Haven't seen as much of Nikki lately, but I know she's working around the country and speaking. You know, I particularly like Tim Scott. I don't know what his ambitions are, but he's got a great heart, a great head on his shoulder. You know, he, you know, often speaks about, you know, he came up the hard way, and but you know, he's a Christian, an outspoken person there that's not afraid to tell people about his faith as well as about his country. And so I'm really proud of Tim. He's found his, you know, his own groove here, and so I, you know, he certainly could be in line. I don't know if he's interested in being president, but I think he might be one of the first picks of someone for VP, even if he doesn't work at it.
I completely agree with you, and I have nothing but great things to say about Senator Scott. When people ask me, it sort of goes back to what you and I were talking about 3 minutes ago or so, and that is the fighting spirit, the kind of the, you know, the get in there and throw some sharp elbows and take down the left. You know, that's why I think it's why folks love DeSantis of late. And I don't mean this as criticism. I don't know if that's in the Tim Scott political DNA. I don't know if it's in the Pence DNA. Mike Pence, one of the, you know, one of my favorite vice presidents, but I don't know if that's in his skill set either. And I think that's what voters are looking for.
Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, I think I know Tim Scott's is quietly very tough, not as outspoken maybe as a Trump. And I think Tim would certainly probably bring a little bit more finesse, but whether people perceive that as not fighting enough, I don't know. I think he's certainly convinced the people of South Carolina he was going to stand up for the principles. So this will play out, and I think if Tim were running for president, I think you would see a more bolder position, because you have to do that to run for president.
Oh, no, yeah, in the primary first, and then and show what you got. Well, listen, as this all plays out, let's have some regular conversations. In the meantime, let's keep track of you. The Conservative Partnership is there at conservativepartnership.org, on Twitter, at CPINST. Get your copy of Satan's Dare, the novel from Jim DeMint, available on Amazon and other places where books are sold. When I go to that conservativepartnership.org, there's a very happy picture of you and Mark Meadows. So is he part of this as well?
Oh yeah, Mark is a senior partner with us, and he is, he's one of the ones who will stand tough in any situation, and he can do it in a genteel way, but he's like a rock. So we're proud to have him, and that's what we're collecting is everybody who works there at CPI at the senior level has worked in the arena. They've been in the House and the Senate. They've proven themselves under fire, and that's the only people we can have, because no one's going to believe us if we hadn't been in the fight ourselves. So that's why Mark is there. But it's the most important thing I've ever done, just to help support and build a movement, which increasingly I think you'll hear us talk about it as the American movement.
Learn more at conservativepartnership.org. Get your copy of Satan's Dare, novel out from Jim DeMint. And let's talk again, sir. Good health and good success to you. Really appreciate having you on the show.
Thank you, Mark.
You bet. Bye-bye. God bless. That's Jim DeMint. Mark Davis, 660 AM, The Answer.
Baby, look out your window. It's raining on your summer home. You by the fire, keep you warm and dry.
Tom Petty's 71st birthday.
Is those in pain? Oh, honey, can you see me?
Gone but never forgotten around here, especially. Letting You Go.
I'm having trouble letting you go.
Also from Hard Promises. I'm kind of stuck here in the delicious quicksand of Hard Promises.
I'm having trouble.
The thing about Petty is, there, you ever go see somebody like a Clapton or a McCartney or a Rod Stewart? Wonderful people. But all you want to know, all you want to hear from is stuff they were doing 40 years ago, even 50 years ago. It's like, hey, I've got a new record now. That's your opportunity to go to the bathroom or, you know, go get a beer. Petty remained relevant to the last. His later albums, like Hypnotic Eye, were still filled with magnificent things, including, well, let me just take this up to Gordon, and then I'll come out, give you this quick track, and then get into Ted Cruz and various other things. And your thoughts, please, at 866-660-5759. I can't think of anybody else I would say this about. Somebody I have followed for more than 40 years, and one of my favorite things that he did was one of the last albums he put out. Get ready for some greatness. And I'll tell you, it's an enormous amount of it is the partnership between Tom and guitarist and songwriter Mike Campbell, who has his own band now called the Dirty Knobs. They've been trying to come to DFW for like 2 years with, you know, hello COVID. And I think they're back on track to be at Trees here in a few months. So anyway, all that and more coming up. It's wall-to-wall Petty until we are done. And I think I know what song we're going to let him take us out with when we are done and hand things over to Mike Gallagher. So we've got a half hour to go, so let's be a part of it. 866-660-5759. Mark Davis, 931. Here's Gordon Griffin. How many of you knew what was coming? From Mojo, Petty and the Heartbreakers, and I Should Have Known It.
I should have known it. I should have seen. Believe it in you. The dream.
Such greatness.
Every promise will just run around.
It's a 3.5 minute record.
It's over now, you see.
But like Good to Be King and Mary Jane, this is something that can turn into about 8 or 9 great minutes.
It's the last time you're gonna hurt me.
And it's all so good. Happy birthday to Tom Petty. Would have been 71 today. Man, if you just go get and do go. I mean, of course, you had to get Hard Promises and Let Me Up, I've Had Enough, and Damn the Torpedoes and Southern Accents, all the early and mid-career Petty albums. But to see just how it is done. I mean, I don't know. Maybe U2 would be another example of folks who have been and stayed relevant for decades and decades. But go get Mojo and Hypnotic Eye, just some late career Petty. And he so still got it. So still got it. Always did. Always, always did. And one of the finest shows you could ever, ever see. And just since I'm kind of emotionally on a roll here with this, you know, and I know that Mike Campbell has his band and is busy. I think he's going back out with Fleetwood Mac again because he and Tim Finn are filling in for Lindsey Buckingham. It takes two people to fill in for Lindsey because they're on the outs. So I'm sure they're all busy, but I just know that Ben Montench, Steve Ferroni, the Heartbreakers would love to get back on stage. And maybe, and I don't know what to do about that. Do you go see if you can get a Keith Urban, who did some amazing cover stuff of Petty a couple of New Year's ago, or a Vince Gill, or a, that's not just country guys, but I don't know, maybe you find 3 or 4 people who can free up some time and do maybe 20 dates as a tribute to Petty. Just put some folks out front of the Heartbreakers. I bet I'd crawl on broken glass to go to that. Just thinking. All right, here's who's thinking about a wide. Hey, speaking of shows, let me just pivot right to this. Travis Tritt was on with Tucker last night, drawing some attention because he is canceling dates. He is noticing that there were some dates that he had, and he just, I guess, hadn't noticed much or paid much attention that they had vaccine mandates, and folks were being required to show vax cards to get into the show and were being turned away for not having them. Now, I would say two things of both the artist and the concert attendee, and that is do your homework, because these seems like something you could probably find out. However, Travis Tritt found out about this, and his fans found out about it in a particularly indelicate way by being turned away at the door. And so what he did, and it's funny, there's a full spectrum on this. I'm guessing the fans of Coldplay, and they're knocking down another arena tour soon, are probably not upset with a vaccine mandate. Travis Tritt fan base, maybe not as willing to accept the vax mandate or a mask mandate or any kind of mandate, doggone it. So the marketplace is what it is. There are artists who will embrace a vaccine mandate. There are artists who will require a vaccine mandate. There are artists who will refuse to play a venue that has a vaccine mandate. Eric Clapton was one of those guys, but I think the money for the New Orleans gig was just a little too sweet, so he caved on that one a little bit. I don't know if Travis Tritt will. And here's the interesting thing that was in my head. If you're a Travis Tritt fan in one of the cities where he canceled a show, are you A, thrilled at him for fighting the good fight, or B, kind of frosted because you wanted to go see him? Anyway, so here's how the marketplace flows. You ready? Flowchart. And I love flowcharts. Number one, do venues have the right to require vaccine? Yes. Next square. Do artists have the right to either go along with that or refuse to play a venue that has a vax mandate? Yes. Moving to the next square. Do fans have the right to do their concert attending accordingly and seek out venues that either do have a mandate so that they're more comfortable or that don't have a mandate so they feel more free? Yes, they do. And I'm guessing these artists are going to be gauging their policies according to what they think their fans want. And isn't that kind of the way it ought to go? Travis Tritt, last night on Tucker Carlson.
We've done about 75 shows so far this year all over the country, Tucker. And in spite of the fact that some people would try to label these as being, quote unquote, super spreaders, the actual numbers don't reflect that at all. As a matter of fact, quite the opposite. In most of these areas, we've seen the COVID numbers actually drop dramatically over the last few weeks and months. And so it came as quite a shock to me and a lot of my fans when after the first week of October, during the first week of October, a lot of these shows had restrictions placed on them, not by the state, not by the local city government, not by the local health department, municipalities, but by the actual promoters / venue owners.
Yes.
And there was nothing that justified it. And so I started getting a ton of messages from fans who were basically not warned about these mandates or restrictions ahead of time, showed up at the gate and were turned away and were not even offered refunds. They were offered credits to a upcoming show that had to be used within the next 12 months or else they lose their money for tickets. And it was just heartbreaking to me. These people have been shut out from getting a chance to go see concerts for over a year, and they're finally getting a chance to do that again, and now they're being turned away for some unexplained reason. So this is not about This is not about following the science or trying to look out for the safety of the people there. This is about something else. This is trying to divide people.
That's right.
This is trying to shame people. This is trying to basically discriminate against people that they don't feel are clean enough to be a part of enjoying a concert like that.
Man, that's so nicely put. So the question is, this: you're not the only touring artist who's experiencing this, but you're the one of the very few I'm aware of who said anything about it, who said, I'm not putting up with this, I'm not going along with it. Why did you decide not to go along with this? I mean, what? Because you could have just ignored it like everyone else is.
You know, I come from a hardworking, middle-class family, and I have been extremely blessed. I came from nothing to have a wonderful, wonderful career that has lasted for over 35 years in this business, and to see people that I know these people. These are hardworking Americans that just want to take care of their families, put food on the table for their families, put a roof over their head, and occasionally go out and experience a concert, you know, enjoy themselves, forget about all their troubles for a little while, and to be able to enjoy all of those different things, that's something that I felt like I had to stand up for. Freedom for all of those people to be able to go out and do what they enjoy doing and enjoy a concert without being harassed.
Travis Tritt, proud son of Marietta, Georgia. We're in Fort Worth. Mike, Mark Davis, welcome. How are you, sir?
Good. How are you doing today, sir?
Hey, great.
Good. Fellow 1957 baby and 1975 graduate.
Excellent.
Here.
Look at you.
Listen, I love studying biographies. I've got several bios on MacArthur, Eisenhower, Patton, several even on Churchill. And, you know, today we look back at Churchill and he's praised. You know, he's the savior of Europe.
You bet.
But during that time, there were, you know, people even in Parliament that hated the man. And I have to wonder, you know, if he had Twitter ability at that time, you know, how many, you know, Trump Twitters, you know, would he have shot out? And what would they have been saying about him at that point? I just personally think that Trump and Churchill are a lot alike. They're both brilliant men. They rub people the wrong way. People don't like them, but they get the job done.
Absolutely. And part of the way, it doesn't mean that everybody that upsets people is always right. If that were the case, Alex Jones is president. Pardon me. But sometimes evidence that you're onto something is when the establishment is freaking out. True of Churchill, true of Trump. And if you haven't already found it, The Last Lion, biographical series on Churchill, is awesome. We're in Dallas. Roger, Mark Davis, welcome. How are you, sir?
Good morning.
Hey.
Are you aware that Tom Petty was in another group called Mud Crunch?
Oh, Lord, crutch, like
mud,
a crutch.
Yeah.
Crutch. Except Mud Crunch is probably some type of candy bar. Yeah, Mud Crunch out of Gainesville. I mean, that's where he met Mike Campbell, Ben Montench. And some of their stuff's been re-released, and it's wonderful.
One of the greatest songs he did in that group was a song called Shady Grove.
Absolutely.
Have you listened to that?
Absolutely. And listen, all the Mud Crutch stuff is so easy to find on iTunes and Apple and stuff like that. And you can really get into some of the roots of what you know Petty was doing circa 1970, 71, 72, before the Heartbreakers even existed. Just a wonderful, wonderful thing. All righty. Thank you. Well, doggone it, man. Too much fun on the phone. Well, just trust me on this. Cruz on the mystery flights for Biden was saying the same kind of stuff that I was saying on the mystery flights for Biden. And that is, if you want America to know something that you're doing, you don't do it at 3 o'clock in the morning. And for those of you who think that when I sit here and tell you that they are welcoming these waves of illegals, a needy underclass that they want wove it into the fabric of America so that ultimately they can be legalized, naturalized, and vote Democrat forever, that they're not just fanning them out across America. I just want to bring you every day of news where it's just obvious what they are doing. And this is one of those weeks. Plane loads of illegals being foisted out across the American landscape and then released into our communities, never to be seen again until they're court dates. Don't tell me about court dates. They ain't showing up for the court dates. Well, you've shown up for us today, and I appreciate it. It's 9:51.
Oh, find a lover. Run away. Let your heart be your guide.
To wrap us up on Tom Petty's birthday, title track from Wildflowers. And there is a documentary out right now, theaters only for the moment, so go find it. I'm sure it'll be streaming at some point. It is called Somewhere You Feel Free, which is a lyric from this record. It's about the making of this album, a Petty solo album, not a Heartbreakers album. But just go check that out if you're prone to do so. And grab a little something from the vast Tom Petty library, this American treasure of a man. For producer Rhonda K. Moreland on Twitter at producer Rhonda K, R-O-N-D-A, capital K. Thank you, Mr. Matt, for the technical guru skills, and Gordon for news excellence every day. I'm Mark Davis. God bless our country, our troops, our families, and the memory of Tom. Mike Gallagher's next. Have yourself a fantastic day. See you tomorrow morning for the Thursday get-together. Who knows what happens then? Have a wonderful day. See you soon.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.